This is Exploring the Marketplace podcast, and I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Houston, and together we're inviting you into a conversation about what God's doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective from our commentary and stay for the main course for our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, their life story's worth a thousand sermons. Here we go.
Hey, Bob. Today on the show, we have real topics with you and I, and it's all about job loss and layoffs. And some of you might be experiencing or have friends who are going through it right now, and we're going to help you be encouraged in your place of faith. Then on to the main course, which is our guest today, Dr. Lee Cowden, who's an integrated medicine doctor who has had so many words of knowledge, Bob, that have helped people, I mean, into the thousands, overcome impossible health conditions. You don't want to miss it, so stay tuned. But first, this.
Hey, Sean, we had some listener feedback. We had one of our listeners write us, their name was SB Gox on Apple iTunes. And this is what they said. The interviews on Exploring the Marketplace that these two do are so amazing. This podcast continually encourages me to keep persevering in my purpose and calling. The business leaders share their raw stories of success and challenges and how God was with them throughout. Whether you believe in God or not, give it a listen. Thanks so much, SB Gox. We just want to encourage you to make sure you share with us how this show is affecting your life and impacting you. It means the world to us.
Well, we have the best community that like follows the show. So I'm so glad that we get to read these now on the show. For season four, we're going to be reading your comments. So I agree with Bob. Send them in, like comment on our YouTube videos, comment on our podcast. And we want to read comments every week from people just like you. But we are in a season, Bob, of job changes and layoffs for a lot of people. So over the year of 2024 and possibly 2025, we're watching tons of layoffs and tons of job drops, people getting fired, people getting laid off. Google had the massive 30,000 people layoff in January 1st, which was, I mean, Happy New Year to a whole workforce. And then we have Amazon and Facebook and Netflix and Nike and Intel and Citibank. And the list goes on. It's like a never-ending list of layoffs. And you might have been affected, or someone that is close to you might not have a job this year. And we want to talk about this, Bob. I want to talk about this with you because our faith offers so much more than just not having faith in times of layoff and job loss. I mean, the Bible really lays out some incredible topics on this. It's such a great book to read, but also our relationship to God in the midst of the Bible. Like, we have a leg up because of this. So let's talk about this for a minute.
Yeah, Sean, I think there's people who are worried, people who are having anxiety, and it's just one of the things that happens in the world, but our focus is to be on the Lord. And I always come back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. And that scripture, especially when we're facing uncertainty in our jobs, whether it's job loss, companies going bankrupt, or whatever's happening, I think to focus on trusting God is the only thing that I know how to do. And I've been through these kinds of things over and over over the decades. And the only thing I know how to do, Sean, is to really try to trust God, because the news is negative. Like you have noticed that
just a little bit. The news is so negative right now.
Well,
I think of your experience too, because I think of some of the things you've gone through, and then even over the last maybe 5 or 6 years, how it seems like the greater level of success you arrive in, the challenges become that much more giant when they come. It's not like they become less and you're just so much more powerful. You actually have to lean into God more for wisdom and clarity. And I've watched you do that with just different employee shifts and things that have happened in your business. And I think of myself, like, I think Christianity is like, it's made for the drama seasons. I mean, like, it helps us in the drama seasons more than everything else. When there's relational crisis, financial crisis, job issues, destiny, purpose crisis, whatever it is. I think Christianity is the thing that gives us the leg up over every other people group, because we know there's a God who has our best interests in his heart. And Jesus even says there's going to be a lot of troubles in your days, but fear not. And the Bible is so filled with fear not, fear not, fear not.
Yeah.
And I had to go through that. When you first go through it on your own and you're having to adopt and like really believe for yourself, it's scary. I remember I was working for a video game company, my favorite experience I ever got, favorite job I ever had. And I've talked about it here a couple times on the show. The woman who was the owner of the company that was working in tandem with Universal Studios Orlando, after we finished the entire game and we're about to go to market, canceled the project because she was a serial entrepreneur and canceled the project so she could experience a loss that she needed for some of the other companies and laid us all off. And so I was completely laid off. And Universal also wanted to do some laying off as well. They didn't want to go into the video game market because they had experienced some low year in movies. And so they didn't want to start a video game company that might actually have some bad hits or misses too. So I remember when I was laid off and I was like, there's nowhere else to go because I wasn't qualified for the job in the first place. So I remember thinking, this will never recreate itself again. I'll never like a job as much as I like this, was the first human place I went. But then I went to But God, like you brought me this. Yeah. There's an adventure in the drama of like, what will you do next? And I think for people who don't know God, that's scary that they don't have that in them, that they don't have the capacity to go, because my life doesn't actually equal for sure a positive outcome, but my life in God does. Mm-hmm. So if I align myself to God, I know he has the best for me. But if I don't have God, I don't have that assurance.
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, you look at the past challenges or the things that you've gone through. And one of the things I love about exploring the marketplace is that we hear people's stories. We hear them saying, look, I had this, I had all these things happening and then I got my breakthrough. But hearing the stories of the struggle is part of the testimony that helps gives us courage to move forward. And I remember, Sean, when I accepted the Lord in the late 70s, obviously Jesus hung on the cross for the remission of our sins. And I was a sinner and I became saved. But the thing that really, really helped me was this scripture in Philippians, the peace that passes all understanding, because I was racked with anxiety and worry. I was consumed with, you know, not knowing what was going to happen next. And this promise that Jesus gives us about having peace is so huge. And when we're facing job loss like this, when we're facing an economy like this, when we're facing rising or lowering interest rates where there's just uncertainty, having the certainty of the Lord and his word is so powerful for me and for everyone else that I know.
Yeah, I love that, Bob, because I think of when Sheree and I, when my wife, we were making a decision where I would go full-time into media from the traditional ministry I was in. Wow. And I remember just going, I have no assurances to her. Just, I have no assurances this is going to work. I've done some Christian media and it's been good, but it hasn't been a replacement level good for what we're doing now. But I just feel like I need to do this. And I remember just kind of having that place of like, I can't believe I'm making this big of a jump during coronavirus of all times, where it seems like the stupidest time to recreate your career. And it was back in 2020. And she just said a number of things that brought alignment, and it came from like God's heart. And I just, again, I came back to that place of when you're walking with God, he's going to lead you in ways you wouldn't go without him. And we say that all the time. And I like that you referred to past guests, because we've had past guests who've shared when they were laid off, when their job didn't work anymore, or when their business failed, those kinds of things. And there's a lot of failed businesses right now that are good people own, good people have. And I love that with God, it's not just that he gives us a backup plan or an alternative. He actually uses Romans 8:28, all these things for our good. Again, you don't have that assurance if you're not a Christian. You don't know that it's going to get better. You don't know that the failure you just experienced or the failure a company brought to you, that trauma will be replaced with goodness. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. But we know, as a Christian, you know that God's going to use it and he's going to train you through it to be a better version of yourself. And I feel like I really like who we become when we take those steps of faith. Like I wound down a career that stopped because coronavirus was like a layoff for me. I couldn't travel anymore. I couldn't do what I do anymore.
Yeah.
And then I went into, but I could recreate. And I'm so glad that I did. I'm so glad I made that decision. And I actually look back and I'm like, thank you even for coronavirus, shutdown, pandemic, bad leadership in the nation, all the things that happened. Thank you even for that, God, because you used it for my good. Not like thank you, like I'm grateful it happened. Yeah. Like thank you even for the benefits of what you did in my life because of it. And I think there's something about that where we get to the place of gratitude in the midst of the layoff, gratitude for what God is and can do and what he will do for us, even in the midst of the pain of it.
Well, one of the things that I noticed that you did and other people that I do too, you and I have this ability, we surround ourselves with supportive people.
Yeah.
We share our burdens and our anxieties with our community and with our people. And because I see one of the things that people do a lot is they isolate. Mm-hmm. And you didn't do that. As you were feeling transition, you were talking to Cherie and to me and to other people that are in your life that you trust and care about this. This is what I think God's doing. And you didn't isolate yourself. So, and I think for our listeners and viewers, don't isolate yourself. Just make sure to surround yourself with community, with people that love you, that care about you, and that you can bounce things off their head when you're off their heads when you're going through, times that are troubling.
I love that, because the wisdom and the multitude. Yeah. So give me your favorite scripture about when you've experienced a job loss or a big loss. What is one of the scriptures you go back to? And I'll give you one of mine.
Well, I hope I don't steal yours, because I know you and I like about the same scriptures, but Jeremiah 29:11.
Oh, you got mine, but no.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. I mean, to me, it just says it all.
Yeah, if you're in loss, you need to read that every day.
Until what's yours?
Until it's real. Yeah, it's like, I'll just go with your scripture, except for maybe I'll add Joshua 1:9, which is be strong and of good courage. And I just think that, have I not commanded you to be strong and good courage? I think there's something about realizing, like God's saying, I haven't commanded you to have anxiety. I haven't commanded you to be worrisome. I haven't commanded you to take the whole burden on yourself. I've commanded you to be strong and of good courage. And I've needed that exhortation in my spirit from the Bible, what Josh was going through. Like, I need to do what the Lord's commanded me, not what he's not commanded me to. And that's like that's a practice, which I think is so good. Well, this was so rich. I still love this. Well, up next is a question from a listener just like you.
Oh, here it is. Well, Marianne wrote, my question is, in times of recession, is it better to focus on liquidity, excess cash flow, to investments rather than attempting to expand business? And Sean, I'm just going to comment on it briefly and then have you comment on it, and then maybe I can finish. But I think it's a general question, and I've known people who have done both, who've thought that their business wasn't going to expand, so they focused on liquidity. And I've known other business people who have said, wow, we're in a time of recession, but our particular area of business is perfect for this recession. We're going to focus on the business. We're going to grow the business. And one giant example is, when the housing crisis happened in 2007, 2008, 2009, nobody was buying new houses. What were they doing? They were doing do-it-yourself projects. And so Home Depot stock went through the roof because people were focusing on what they had. And so I think you can do both. You can, if you're in a right segment during a recession, you can focus on your business. If you don't feel like you're in that right segment, you can focus on liquidity.
Yeah. And I think I'll add, because I think that's a perfect answer, is just that I think you have to go into seasons when things are tight. You got to reevaluate who you have hired. If you're an employer, you have to evaluate what your expenses are. You have to evaluate and reduce as much as you can until it hurts. And then from there, rebuild. But I feel like a lot of people, they wait 3 months too long, and then they're like in a really bad financial position because they could have done it. They could have canceled. It's kind of like if you're looking at your own personal budget, do I cancel all the excess, like the streaming services and the extra internet bill and the whatever it is, the extra cell phone, or maybe your iPad's with the internet, all the things that you have that are extra, you cancel all the extra and you get back into the mode of, what do I need to actually live in a way that's right now? Not in a way that's comfortable, but in a way that's right. And I feel like that's where a lot of people fail, and then they get into worse financial problems, and then they act like a victim. And so it's really important that we do what we can with what we have now, and to make some, you had us cut deep a couple times as we've gone through things as an organization for our ministry. You're like, let's cut deep. This is gonna be hard. You're gonna feel some stuff cut off, because we went through a couple financial challenges over the last 6 years. And it was so good for us. And I would apply that same principle here. But thank you for asking the question. It's such a great question. And we want to hear questions from people just like you. You can leave them as comments in this YouTube, or you could also send them to bowlsministries.com. Click on Ask Sean and Bob a Question. We would love to hear from you. And your question may appear in an episode just like this.
Well, Sean, who's our guest today? What are we going to do on the show?
This is so good. We have a doctor who I met through Tim at Nutramedics, who's one of our sponsors. The doctor's not Tim from Nutramedics, says, and I love Lee Cowden, Dr. Cowden, because he's a specialist with integrated medicine. So he's taking naturopath stuff and he's taking mainstream medicine and combining them together. And he hears from God like no other doctor I've ever talked to or heard from. And he's the chairman of scientific advisory board, a professor of the Academy of Comprehensive Integrative Medicine, which is acimconnect.com, which you can get involved with, whether you're a patient or whether you're a doctor, to find doctors who care about integrative medicine, which I think is going to be, honestly, Bob, the fastest growing field of medicine in the future. That's just my personal opinion. He's been a USA board certified cardiologist and internist and a licensed homeopath medical doctor, but recently retired from patient care and is now teaching full time. He's been studying integrative medicine science since he was in University of Texas Medical School at Houston in 1975 and 78. I was a toddler. He's also co-authored 6 books and is internationally known for his knowledge and his skill in practicing and teaching integrative medicine. But what I love the most is that he gives us credit to God for helping thousands of patients and teaching hundreds of thousands of people how to listen to God and how to integrate their health with a relationship with God. And up next is Dr. Lee Cowden, and you don't want to miss this interview. One of the most important revelations and understandings we can have is that there's a provision for every destiny God gives us. And I wrote a book called Keys to Heaven's Economy, which is going to take you on a spiritual journey of revelation where you're going to understand what's available to you, both in the spirit, but also it's going to unlock you in the natural. Along with this book, if you buy it this month and this month only, you're going to get the Keys and Provision masterclasses that go right alongside this book. I'm going to encourage you to get the book, sow into your own destiny, your own provision, and your own resources right now. And also sow into Bowles Ministries by going to BowlesMinistries.com and get yours today.
Well, welcome back. We're here with Dr. Lee Cowden. Dr. Cowden, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Now, I was reading through your notes, Dr. Cowden, and there's so much going on in your life with God that's just so inspirational. But I want to take us back to a point where you had a practice where you had 4,000 active patients, 4,000 inactive patients. You guys were going through so much. I want to start there because there's some drama in this point of your story. And then I'm going to get into like, how did you know to start your practice differently after that? But like, take us on that journey of that moment when you were kind of in a season of life was breaking down health-wise and some things were happening. Describe just what happened and what God did.
Well, I had a crazy busy practice. I never advertised, and patients just got to me by word of mouth because I'd had so much success with the previous patients. But when we moved from a 2,000 square foot office space to a 9,000 square foot office space and hired 15 employees, it became very crazy. So crazy, in fact, that our office manager couldn't handle everything that she needed to handle. So my wife came into the office to be the personnel manager. And, every day there was a new crisis with one of our employees. And we were homeschooling my 12-year-old daughter in the office. That was not ideal. But anyway, my wife developed unstable angina pectoris. That means a chest pain, several times a day, that any of which could have caused a heart attack. And so I would see a patient, then I go see her, and then I see a patient, then I go see her, and try to keep her from dying on me. And we were doing that just for, I don't know, a week or two, and then we discovered that my wife also had breast cancer. And I thought, oh my goodness, we got two potentially fatal illnesses now. And not too long after that, I developed prostate cancer and then colon cancer, sigmoid colon cancer. And then not too long after that, I developed unstable angina pectoris. So here we were, trying to homeschool our 12-year-old daughter in the office. And every day we were having multiple episodes of chest pain each day, any of which could have progressed to a heart attack and caused us to die. So we thought, we're fools. We could both die the same day and our daughter would have to raise herself. And I said, we need to find somebody to come in and buy this practice or come in and take the load off of me and you. and so we can recover our health. So we worked for a couple of months trying to find somebody. Never could find anybody to join us or buy the practice, either one. So we decided to close the practice. So we told all the employees that we're going to close the practice, and so they could try to find other jobs. So we can't continue to employ you because, you know, we got to go save ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we loaded all the equipment and all the furniture into a storage unit and closed the doors, sent a letter out to, I think it was 4,500 active patients by that time. Wow. And wow. Say, here's the name of six doctors in our area that may be able to help you. I don't know if they can or not, but I can't anymore. And so, you know, that was a tremendous reduction in stress, tremendous reduction in stress. And so I focused on my wife and myself as far as our physical health. And I feel like I got quite a few words of knowledge from God about, you know, what to do and how to do it, and in the process of doing that. And within about 4 or 5 months, you know, we were both free of all of our diseases.
Gosh. I love how casual you just said that. You said, I got a couple words of knowledge from God. And then four or 5 months later, we were cured. I mean, this is what people are hoping, but I do want to just comment real fast. The reduction, I know that must have been, because you're in survival mode, it wasn't as big of a crash to have your company have to be closed down. But I mean, that's a major crash alongside the health crisis and trying to raise your daughter. And then how did God come through? Like take us there, because you said it so quickly. When did you know you were going to be okay? Like, how did all of a sudden God speak to you where he was stabilizing?
Oh, yeah. Just as soon as the door was locked on the office, I knew that we were both going to get well.
You just had a knowing.
And I knew it wasn't going to require surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, invasive procedures, pharmaceutical drugs. So we did all of that without any of those. We did a lot of prayer, and you know, we prayed once for God to heal us, and then we prayed, you know, daily, thank you, God, for the healing that you're working in us, even though we can't see it yet. And
I guess that's the definition of faith, Dr. Cowden. And we've talked to lots and lots of people, Sean and I do. And one of the things that we hear, I have a two-pronged question for you, is what stress does. So as a medical doctor, could you comment on what does stress do to a person? And then as you reduce stress, you said you got healed. And then the second thing is, when you shut the business down, and there must have been a lot of emotion around your 15 employees, how did you and your wife stand together in that, knowing that 15 employees were going to have to go find new jobs and new doctors?
Yeah, well, I felt really bad for the patients and for the employees that were going to have to go find new jobs. My wife just felt complete relief. You know, she was just in it under duress, not by choice.
Yes.
And so, you know, she grounded us during that early phase, you know, helping both of us to realize that, you know, we were on the right path. And, you know, we were living on credit cards. So, you know, there was a little concern about the finances, but, you know, I'd seen multiple times in the past when God came through financially for us. And so I wasn't terribly concerned about that. But anyway, the stress causes the person usually to go into fear. Okay, that's the most common emotion of stress. And when you go into fear, you stop thinking with the prefrontal cortex, and you start thinking with the brainstem and the amygdala, the most primitive parts of the brain. And you can't make good decisions when you're thinking in fear. It's just impossible. Mm-hmm. But when you can start thinking with your prefrontal cortex, and then you can, the stress, I think, also keeps us from being able to hear clearly from God.
Yeah,
and so you get this download, word of knowledge or word of wisdom from God, and when you're not stressed, you can actually hear it and respond. But when you're under stress, sometimes you don't even hear it.
When it sounds like you were kind of delivered from the business, in the sense that you were trying to work on health and rebalance your whole life, and then God really showed you how to take on your health journey. Then you started a new practice. Talk about that. Like, that's a huge, I just think people are listening and going, the way you're describing it, like, there's probably a lot of other people who have had some success in a business that maybe God's not even blessing this success anymore, and they need to get out. And they're hearing your story and they're going, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Like, this isn't what I want to be doing, or this isn't how I want to be doing it, or whatever. How did you guys rebalance? So you guys went through your healing journey and then you opened a practice again, but you did it differently with different values.
Yeah, for sure. What I've learned in the past is that if we if we're going through an open door and it's not the right door, God's not likely going to bless it. But sometimes we have to make the choice to close that door so that God can open a new door that he does want us to go through, and then he can bless it and will bless it. And so that's basically the what happened in a nutshell. You know, I after about 4 or 5 months, you know, my wife and I were both physically well, but I said, I don't ever want to go back to the same type of practice that I had. And so I got a call from a friend out in California. He said, would you like to help me put together an integrative medicine clinic in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico? I said, well, that's interesting. I think I would like to do that. I said, I have to have somebody paying my bills, because I don't, you know, I have to have, the bills covered. He said, I can cover your bills. And I said, I have to have somebody pay for my trip out there and a place to stay while I'm there. He said, I can pay for that. I said, okay, let's go try it. And so we worked on that for, I don't know, several months. And in order for that to succeed, you had to have a Mexican partner, you know, because the Mexican government would shut you down if you didn't have a Mexican partner. And so we had to identify the Mexican partner, and we put together the plans and the business plan and the site plans, and figured out what equipment to buy and all that kind of stuff. And the day before we were supposed to get funding from the Mexican partner, the Mexican peso dropped to 1/3 of its previous value in 24 hours. And I said, okay, God, I think I get the message that you don't want us to do this. So he closed that door. And so I went back to Dallas, and I said, I think I'm going to contact my friend Jonathan and see if he has an extra exam room still in his office, because before he had an exam room that he never used. And I said, now, Jonathan, are you still have an extra exam room in your office that you almost never use? Yeah. I said, would you rent it to me by the day? If I use it, I pay for it. If I don't use it, I don't pay for it. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, I can do that.
Wow.
I said, how much would you charge me for that? He said, about $100 a day. That sounds perfect. That was a heck of a lot better than $65,000 a month overhead that I left.
Yeah.
And so I called my best nurse and said, Alicia, what are you doing? She said, I'm sitting here with my mom at home watching Captain Kangaroo and bored out of my gourd. And I said, would you like to work a day a week? She said, oh, I'd love that. Anything to get out of the house. And so I said, I can even pay you, but I can't pay you if you don't come to work. I'm only going to pay you for the days you come to work. So I made sure all of my overhead was variable overhead.
Yeah.
Okay? And so we started seeing patients one day a week, and neither of us were breaking a sweat, because we were used to seeing patients 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. And I said, Alicia, you think you could handle another day? She said, yeah. So we settled in on Mondays and Wednesdays. And so when we got Mondays and Wednesdays filled up, we had more take-home pay. I personally had more take-home pay than I had when I had $65,000 a month overhead, 9,000 square feet of office space, 15 employees, and lots of headache.
You know, one of the things that we hear over and over again from our younger listeners is the drive to build a business. And so the thought is more is better all the time. More is better, more volume, more patients, more employees, more overhead. Yeah. But you've just talked about a principle that is so interesting. You've lived through it, that with variable overhead and with way less stress, all of a sudden you were able to be more effective and more profitable. And I think that's just a massive lesson for our viewers and listeners, that sometimes bigger isn't always better.
No, it's the American mentality, and it's the wrong mentality. We're caught up too much in capitalism there. But, you know, I think that the other thing that we did in that time was we prayed. Alicia was a strong Christian woman. So we prayed that God would only bring us the patients that he wanted us to work on.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Wow. Only those. And so pretty soon we had, you know, 2 full days of only the people that God wanted us to work on. And, you know, we would pray with the patient that, you know, pray with the patient that would allow it, pray for every patient. And we saw miracles after miracles
you know,
because God was preparing them in advance.
Could you tell us a couple miracle stories? We love miracle stories and testimonies, but especially on the medical side.
Yeah, well, I had a Hollywood documentary film producer call me up and say, Dr. Cowden, Burton Goldberg told me that I need to come see you. I said, what's your problem? She said, well, I had advanced lymphoma. I'd gotten all the chemotherapy as an outpatient that I could. And so they put me in the hospital and I went through a bone marrow transplant and total body load of chemotherapy that was the max allowed, and also total body radiation that was the max that was allowed. And I went in, you know, getting all that treatment, I ended up in the intensive care unit and I had 57 blood transfusions to save my life.
Oh.
And I was in the intensive care unit for 2 months. But miraculously, I got over that and got out of the hospital. And before I got out of the hospital, they said, your cancer's coming back. There's nothing else that we can do. Go take a trip, go write your will, plant, you know, use whatever little time you have left wisely. And so she came and, you know, we prayed. She wasn't a praying woman yet, but we prayed you know, with her and also for her. And God gave us, you know, downloads, words of knowledge, and things that we could do and should do. And started her on that program. And in about 4 or 5 months, she was completely free of all disease.
Oh my gosh. And I think it's interesting because a lot of your downloads, like we're friends with Nutramedics, which is one of our sponsors. And I know Tim, he's the one who introduced us to you because he was saying, Sean, there's people all over the medical field, both in the integrated medicine, mainstream medicine, and also holistic medicine, who are hearing God right now in powerful ways. And I want to introduce you to my friend, Dr. Cowden, because he's hearing God and it's actually made a difference for decades now in his practice and in how he deals with people. And I think it was so encouraging to me when he was saying that, because even him, as you know, having a nutraceutical company, he's leaning on the fact that they're doing this because they want everything that God has on the earth that can heal us. They want to be able to see it visually and connect to it. So I'm so glad he introduced us to you. Talk about the integrated medicine, because it sounds like you weren't healed through chemo and radiation. God gave you words of knowledge about different things and different procedures or protocols that you would use. And you even recommend protocols on your website for people. Do you have protocols that are part of how God's shown you certain things can be dealt with? Like, talk about that, because I think a lot of people who are listening are like, I just go to the doctor and I hope for the best versus like walk on a process, very spiritually intelligent process, that I'm looking for doctors or nurses or people to help lead me through a spiritual side of the natural process too. And I don't think a lot of us have that option on the table for us. So it's so encouraging to talk to you.
Yeah. You know, the process has been quite amazing. You know, how God has you know, shown me things that that I don't, you know, in the natural would have never come up with on my own.
Yeah.
But you know, I started studying integrated medicine in when I was in medical school still, and that's kind of an interesting story. I had lived in West Texas all my life and moved to Houston to go to medical school and wasn't used to the, you know, humidity and the grass and the weeds and the trees and the mold and everything else that was in the air. So I developed allergic rhinitis and then allergic sinusitis and then infective sinusitis, then bronchitis, and then pneumonia. And I was going to the chairman of the allergy and immunology department first, and the ear, nose, and throat department second, and the pulmonary department third. And I followed their advice, took their drugs, got worse. I kind of thought, oh my goodness, I got to the point where I couldn't even attend classes consistently. And I was concerned I was going to have to drop out of medical school. And thank goodness my wife's grandmother came to visit us. She was a school teacher and self-taught nutritionist. she had pity on me. She took me down to the health food store, got me on some vitamins, minerals, and herbs, and I got well in about 2 months. Wow. And I thought, my goodness, I need to learn what this woman knows, and I need to take with a grain of salt everything I learned in the training institution after this. Mm. So anytime in medical school I had any time, any spare time, I would read books on nutrition, books on Eastern herbals, books on Western herbals, books on magnetic therapy, books on pulse magnetic therapies, and so on. And anytime I ran across something that looked worthwhile, useful, I tried on myself, and then I tried on my family, and then I tried on my close friends. And if it worked on all those, I said, well, it's probably a keeper. But I didn't come out of the closet and use it on patients, because that was very foreboding in those days. Mm-hmm. So all the time I was going through medical school and residency and two fellowships, I continued to study integrative medicine and applied it, just to family and friends. And I did 1 year after I finished the fellowship in cardiology and critical care medicine. I did 1 year of standard allopathic medicine, and I was absolutely miserable. Wow. And I said, I can't do this. I know something better, and I'm not using it for my patients. I need to switch horses and go down the integrative medicine stream. And so I told my partner, I said, I can't do this anymore. The practice is yours. and so I opened up another practice of integrative medicine in St. Louis, and started doing that for a bit. But then my wife said, why can't we move to Dallas? We have lots of relatives in Dallas, and our children are never seeing any of their relatives. I said, yeah, I could probably do this wherever I want to do this. So mm-hmm. so we moved to Dallas, and that was a really interesting story as well. I went to the biggest hospital in town. I said, I want to get on staff. They say, oh, you're a cardiologist. Yeah, we need more cardiologists. And I said, I need to get an office space. And she told me that they had some and told me the price. And I just about fainted because the price was so high. And I said, well, I will get on staff. Can you refer me any patients? She said, do you take Medicare? I said, I could. She said, do you take Humana supplemental insurance? I said, I could. And she said, okay, well, if you'll sign up for Humana and take Medicare, we'll send you as many patients as you want. And so I was coming out of the hospital building, and I saw this sign on the shopping center across the street. On the second floor, there was an office space for rent. So I went over there and took down the phone number and called the guy. And he told me the price per square foot is about half of what the hospital was charging.
Of course. And
I said, how many square feet is it? 1,000 square feet. He said, that's perfect to start with. And so, anyway, I took the space, and I didn't realize until later that I was right down the hallway from the busiest cardiologist in town.
Oh my gosh.
And so the patients would come out of the elevator and walk past my door, which said, Lee Cowden, board certified cardiologist, and go down to his door, go in and say to his receptionist, when can Dr. Shui see us? Well, it'll probably be about 3 or 4 months. They say, we'll be dead by then. come back out of his door, walk past my door and see board certified cardiologist on, open up the door, ask my receptionist, when can Dr. Cowden see us? How about today?
That's awesome. That's amazing.
So my receptionist was an extremely frugal woman, and she saw me writing instructions about diet and supplemental nutrients on the pharmaceutical givy pads. You know, they have a pharmaceutical logo at the top and then some blank lines below that. And she said, you can't keep doing that. That's oxymoronic. And so she went on her lunch break one day down to the office supply store and bought a stack of lavender notepads about a foot thick. And she brought them back to the office, and I said, lavender? I said, I don't like lavender. She said, you're going to use those. I paid good money for those. I later learned that she paid $1 for the whole stack, but she was a very frugal woman, so that was good money for her. So anyway, we started using the lavender notepads, and patients would take those lavender notepads and walk into the local health food store, and the health food store clerk would walk up to him and say, what does Dr. Calvin want you to have? How do you know I came from Dr. Cowden's office? That's his calling card.
Oh my gosh, that became your...
Yeah, so, So the health food stores started sending me their failures.
Wow. This is amazing.
Yeah, this is amazing. I love the blend of medical and business stories, how the frugality of your office manager and how you learned the power of stress in business. How do our listeners and viewers get a hold of your writings or your teachings or what you do?
Well, yeah, I've written, co-authored 6 books, and those are all on Amazon. So if you just type in William Lee Cowden or W. Lee Cowden books, you'll probably find all 6 of them. The first I wrote in 1996, it was called Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide to Cancer. And it was that thick, wow. 1,100 pages, and 2,000 peer-reviewed references from the literature. So that one took the most work to do. But in 2014, I did 3 books that year. Don't know what possessed me to do that, but anyway.
That's a lot of work.
Foods That Fit a Unique You, I wrote because there were dozens and dozens of diet books on the shelf, and none of them, basically we're right for everybody. So I wrote a book to say, how do you figure out what's the right one for you?
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah. And then, my personal website, as I said, is, drleecowden.com, drleecowden.com. And there's free stuff on there. And then there's the I call it the Academy website, acimconnect.com. ACIM stands for Academy of Comprehensive Integrative Medicine. And Connect is connecting doctors with doctors, patients with patients, and patients with doctors. And so we have about 1,000 hours worth of educational information on there, but most of it, you have to pay something for that.
Well, I think this is so important, Dr. Cowden. I think there's many of our listeners are looking for this. They're looking for some integrated medicine. They're looking for some alternatives. They're looking for somebody who has biblical and spiritual wisdom and has a history. And I'm so grateful you were on the show today. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being with us.
It's been great. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Well, thank you for listening and watching. Those of you who are watching us on YouTube or listening on podcast, we will see you next time. But make sure to leave us a review, a comment, and subscribe and hit the notifications button so you can be part each week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening to Exploring the Marketplace, where we have weekly episodes to keep your work and life full of courage and hope. If you enjoyed our question of the week, come and be a part of by asking your question at bowlsministries.com or in the comments where we might include it in a future episode.
Also, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and be a part of the conversation by following us on our Exploring the Marketplace YouTube channel or at our socials at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan on most social media platforms. Visit us at bowlsministries.com where you can find our book, Wired to Hear, when you're looking for what God has to say about your career, influence, or entrepreneurship.
We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.